long for the days of this song to play in the evening time. Well, one day soon we can confidently say it's tribe time now, but for the time being, we're all going to have to march to the beat of a totally different drum. Welcome back into Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch joined at a safe social distance by Rocco Nucci. And, well, I guess tonight you could technically say it's tribe time, right?
So oh, yes.
Throwback. So tonight we begin re-airing the Indians' 22-game winning streak back from 2017. It all began on August 24th. As the Indians took on the Boston Red Sox, and the Indians replays on this 22-game winning streak presented by the Center for Orthopedics. We head to the hotline to bring in a gentleman who was on the call for every last one of those games, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Rosie, an honor and a privilege as always, my friend. How are you?
Bull, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if you tune into that game tonight, you're going to hear an Indians win.
Boy, what a bold prediction.
Bet the ranch on it.
That's, wow, that is a really bold prediction. You heard it here first from Jim Rosenhaus at 14 minutes after 4 o'clock. Well, Rosie, we're excited for this, and I think, you know, we all need some kind of baseball in our lives right now. A 22-game winning streak. We begin re-airing it tonight. Rosie, as you look back on that entire streak, what are some of the moments that stand out to you?
I think moment-wise, for sure, the last game of the streak was just remarkable. The way it ended, they were backs to the wall, down to their last strike with Lindor at the plate, and he ties it with a double in the ninth, and then the Jay Bruce hit wins it in the 10th, and I can remember I had gone downstairs in the ninth inning just in case they came back and we would get a post-game interview, and you know, it didn't look good, and then all of a sudden Lindor gets the hit, and you're hanging around downstairs waiting for to see how it will end. And I mean, I remember walking up the steps of the dugout after Bruce had driven in a game-winning run, and I saw Mike Sarbaugh was one of the last coaches out of the dugout to get that handshake line. And he just shook his head. He goes, man, that's something else right there. You know, he kind of cleans it up a little bit. But like, even they were not surprised that they won. But it's just like, how long is this thing going to go? That just doesn't happen in baseball. But for 3 weeks, it was like magic. You know, the other thing that stands out is just how dominant they were. I mean, that was really one of the only close games. The rest of them were pretty well locked up by the, you know, sixth, seventh inning. So, you know, I think at times you didn't even realize it was that long a winning streak because there wasn't anything really dramatic about many of the games until the very end.
Yeah, definitely one of the greatest stretches of baseball that we will ever see across the world here in Northeast Ohio. You know, it doesn't matter. You talked about Jay Bruce a little bit, obviously the walk-off there at the end of the streak to sort of cap it off. Can you shed some light on his impact in what he really did and meant for that ball club that summer?
He was huge, and I remember, you know, Michael Brantley went down at the start of August with a significant injury, and you thought, oh, man, you know, that's going to hurt, because he was having a good year, and he had missed the, you know, the year prior, the postseason run to the World Series, and you just thought, boy, that's going to really hurt this ball club. And somehow they got Jay Bruce from the Mets for nothing. And, I mean, they gave up something, but for what he did, I mean, he came in and just raked right away and was a big, big impact offensively for that ball club. Actually, during the streak, overall numbers-wise, I think his average might have been below 200, but I'm going to say every one of his hits came at a great time. And he was a pro's pro. And not that club needed any more veteran leadership. I mean, they were all hardened by, you know, going through the playoff run the year before, so that it's not like they needed a, you know, a good clubhouse guy or whatever, but he was that, and it certainly didn't hurt. So he meant a ton to that team and certainly was a major impact on the streak.
And Rosie, it just kind of seemed like from the second they acquired him, he fit right in with that clubhouse. And I mean, it wasn't just during that streak too. I mean, that certainly carried over throughout the end of the regular season and into the postseason that year as well, because game one in that American League Divisional Series against the Yankees, he hit that home run that landed a few rows deep. It just be over the wall in right field too. So it was like Jay Bruce just seemed like he was the perfect fit at the right time for that team.
He really was. And that's a credit to him and his personality. He'd been in the game long enough to build up a good resume as a player who had been on some winning teams. I remember, right now the Reds are in a tough patch in terms of winning and going to the postseason. But when he was first coming up, they had good clubs, and he was part of that. So I think he learned how to win early and then was in kind of a tough situation with the Mets. Had been hurt a little bit, but came over here, and if I remember, one of the things that he said when he first showed up was just how fun it was to come to a team that they didn't really have to rely on him. There wasn't that pressure that he had to carry a ball club, which he ended up doing at times, but they were good enough where he didn't have to carry them. He just wanted to be a piece that helped them get to where they wanted to be, and boy, it turned out to be more than that.
Again, we're speaking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. You'll hear Hammy and Rosie tonight beginning at 7 o'clock as we begin re-airing every one of those games on that 22-game winning streak for the Tribe. It began back on August 24th, 2017. And again, we'll have it tonight, and it's presented by the Center for Orthopedics. Rosie, there's a 50-50 raffle tie-in with all of this as well. So what kinds of light can you shed on that, and how will all of that work?
Oh, man, Bull, you caught me off guard on that one. I know there's a 50-50 raffle, and CIC is involved, Cleveland Indians Charity. So it's similar to what you see at the ballpark during the course of the season if you go to a game. And you'll be able to do it, I believe, online. If tell you what, ask me another question, and let me circle back, and I'll find the information so that I'm not telling people the wrong thing, but I'd love to be able to point them in the right direction so they can participate.
Well, the proceeds will benefit Cleveland Indians Charities, as you mentioned, so great, great stuff there as well. And, Rosie, you talked about this during the first question we asked you about being down in the clubhouse, especially after the last game during the streak. What was it like, not just that game, but all throughout the streak? I'm assuming it was pretty loose down there, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and I think one of the interesting things is that they just I think every team has pretty good confidence that they're going to play well every night. Some teams having good seasons think that more than others. But I remember late in the streak, it was when the team was still in Chicago, I was talking to Joe Smith, who had come back and rejoined the team and worked out of the bullpen. And I said, Joe, everyone says, they don't feel like they're going to win. They know they're going to win. I said, why do you feel that way? And he said, look over there. And he was pointing at Kluber's locker, and Corey was getting ready to make a start. And he was just kind of sitting in his locker, getting in the zone. And he goes, you really think we're going to lose with that guy on the mound? and that's how and it wasn't being cocky or disrespectful to their opponents. That's just how good they felt they were at the time, and that was the type of confidence that team had, and I think a big reason why they were able to go on the type of streak that they did.
Well, we're going to transition into something completely different here. Rocco Nucci and I are huge fans of the video game MLB The Show, and you've been providing some recaps for these MLB The Show simulations throughout the course of the year. Personally, I think they're awesome. They're one of my highlights of the day, going through and taking a look at my Twitter timeline. Rosie, seems like you guys have had a lot of fun putting these together, but these things are tough to put together, especially when you factor in how you guys will incorporate some calls from yourself and Hammy as well. How tough has it been to put these together, and how much fun has it been?
It takes a cast of thousands, Bull. Maybe not that many. But it's kind of fun because we are bringing in a lot of people to be a part of it. And it actually starts in my basement. You know, we were looking for some things to do and having some meetings, the communications department. And, you know, some teams had done the full game, having their announcers call a full game. And we thought about that, you know, how can we do that with Hammy and myself? And it just, you know, we just thought, well, for, you know, 2.5 hours or whatever, that might get old after a little while. But how can we, you know, keep people engaged maybe on a daily basis with the shorter attention spans of, you know, social media and things like that? So we thought, all right, let's get it down to 2.5 minutes. So my son has the PlayStation and MLB The Show, and he said, yeah, I could pull highlights and we can kind of take it from there. So he started pulling the highlights. We would simulate the season, and then I asked back at the, you know, our command center for the radio station, you know, if they had the highlights that we could use from Hammy, just a bunch of different highlights. And Brian Motze, who does a great job as our network coordinator, sent a million of them over. So I'll go through, you know, based on what my son will get me. And if it's a Lindor home run, there's a whole, you know, 3 or 4 Hammy calls of Lindor hitting a home run, and we'll put it in there too. And I'll kind of voice the whole thing. And then we send it over to our scoreboard people down, well, not at the ballpark now, but the one guy who has the editing software, a guy by the name of Steve Asbury, and he puts it all together, and then it's up on social media the next day. So it takes a little bit. There's a lot of people have a hand in it, but it's fun, and we horse around a little bit, and you can do some things on there that are a little bit out of the ordinary, which makes it fun.
Well, and it comes off fantastic. Seems like you guys have a lot of fun putting that together. And, well, Rosie, speaking of off-the-wall stuff, there have been a lot of crazy ideas about how to get baseball going again when they get some clearance from the CDC and how they might be able to make all of that work. You've heard all of these. Have you heard any that you really kind of feel like makes more sense than the other? Because at this point, I think we're all hoping that there's baseball at some point. I mean, there have been ideas thrown out there about maybe end of June, beginning of July. Have you heard any ideas that seem to make a little bit more sense than some of the others?
Well, and again, you know, none of these are official from Major League Baseball, but, you know, some of them are things put out there by members of the national media, respected baseball writers, and they have some ideas, and some of it may, you know, be based on what they're hearing, and others is just, you know, some stuff that they think. But I think the most recent one where they've talked about trying to do it in the home ballparks, albeit with no fans, but at least letting the teams play in their cities, I like that one a lot. I mean, you know, I know the alternative early on was to see maybe about everybody going to Arizona and being quarantined together and kind of playing in a bubble, so to speak. I think that would have been really challenging in a lot of different ways, and maybe that is still what happens. But this most recent one where they've talked about letting the teams stay in their cities, even if there's no fans at the ballpark, I think it would be, if they can do it medically and with all the precautions that might have to be taken, if they can do it that way, I think it would be uplifting for at least a segment of the population in those cities who enjoy sports or enjoy baseball. I think it'd be fun to have people around as long as they can do it safely. And I think until they figure out that part of it, we'll probably be in a holding pattern. But I know they're trying their best to come up with a way that would work. And the one you hear about, you know, or the idea that seems most appealing, and this is just me talking, but hopefully I would think fans feel the same way, is being able to play in your cities and maybe just reducing the travel a little bit, making divisions that are a little more regional and staying within those until playoff time.
Yes, I think we're all on board with that, and if that gets the ball moving a little bit faster to start playing some games, that would be terrific, because I think that's what we all want here. As excited as I'm sure some people are about the South Korean KBO games that air at 1 o'clock in the morning, You know, I think we all want Major League Baseball back above all else. Rosie, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by. Continued great work on those recaps with the MLB, the show highlights. Those are a lot of fun to watch every single day. And we look forward to hearing you and to see if your bold prediction comes true a little bit later on tonight.
You know, Chris Sale's going for the Red Sox tonight. I think the Indians are going to light him up. Just a prediction. Hey, this, 50-50, it's tribe50-50.com is where you go. Tribe50-50.com, and if you jump in there, it goes to Cleveland Indians Charities, supporting the youth of Northeast Ohio.
Very nice. Tribe50-50.com. Good stuff. Rosie, again, thank you so much for the time. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
You got it, Bull. Thanks.
Thanks, Rosie. Again, that's Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians joining us here on Bullseye on the